played music out of these speakers instead of these speakers that you're actually hearing the instruments. Y'all notice that? See, these speakers are designed for just voice. These are designed for voice and music. And I mean, just when the praise music was up there, all the different instruments that you wouldn't necessarily hear out of these, you're hearing out of these back here. And man, it's just fantastic. Good job finding them, my man. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you can hear it now. You can hear it now. And thanks again for all you did for the sound system. All right, tell me about Miss Ashley.
She's doing better. We're
93.
93? Right. 93.
Good. Good.
And
the
rope
forgets
one.
Yeah.
She ate every piece. He didn't get one.
Well, listen. My wife told me many, many years ago. Let's just establish this right now. She said, husbands come and go, but kids are for a lifetime. Just keep that in mind, all right? Yeah, that's right. Chicken. All right. Folks, thanks for being here. I know as you look around, you're like me, you think, where's everybody at? And there's always seems to be something every Sunday that comes up where it takes this family this way or this family that way. And some of them go south and some of them take vacations and then others deal with all kinds of different things. Anyway, what it is what it is. But I promise you that if you come, I'm going to give you the best I got. I know at my age, I don't know what the best is, but I'm going. So if I see a particular group of people that needs preaching to, I'm just going to preach to them. Okay? Whoever's in front of me at the time. Whoever, you know, back up just a little bit. But anyway, we love you. Thank you for being here. Oh, I'm coming over this way. I'm coming over this way. My man Luke, what's up, baby? All right. Have you enjoyed the Gospel of John? I hope that you have. It is really a marvelous gospel set aside by how Jesus deals with individual people. You see that in this Gospel of John. As we get toward the end of this gospel, and we get in toward the end of the life of Jesus on this earth, one thing that he tried to get across to his disciples, and this is hard to do, but he's trying to get his disciples to work as a team. He wants them all on the same side, doing the same thing, especially while he's here with them. Now, once he is put on a cross, once he's resurrected, and once he ascends to go to heaven, these guys are together for a while, but then they begin to scatter their ministries all over. But until that time comes, all right, he's trying to keep them together as a team. Now, as that goes, he's also talking about others who will come to know Jesus under their ministry, and others who will come to know Jesus, even though we've not seen him. That's this group. You did not see Jesus. He was not alive during that time. But you are as important to him as his disciples were. And he wants us to be together as a team, working the same way. If there's one thing that a church needs to be, is to come together and to pull the same way. That doesn't mean we don't have individual personalities. Sometimes we have to make difficult decisions as a congregation. But when it is all said and done, we come together as one to make the church. Understand that? The checks that you write going to keep the doors open. The tithe that you give goes to pay the staff, pays the bills, keeps the doors open, keeps the gospel going, keeps us on the internet so that we can spread the gospel around the world. This is what we do. We try to maintain it, and we try to keep it, because this belongs to God. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
That's what we do. That's what we're about. Look as Jesus pulls us together. John chapter 17, 6 verses. Neither for these only do I pray. Jesus is saying, not only do I pray for you men, the disciples, what he's saying, but for them also that believe on me through their word. This is a fancy way of saying this. I pray not only for these men in front of me, but for the people who will be saved under their ministry. Well, down through time, that's also you and me. It started 2,000 years ago, and now it has trickled down to all of us. So Jesus is saying, I am so proud of you, and I am praying for you, and I'm going to be with you just like I was with the disciples. We are as important to him as these men who's in front of him. I want you to get that. That they may all be one, even as thou. In other words, I pray for the churches that will come together, that they will come together in one heart, one mission, one spirit. Now why is that? It's because we are much stronger together than we are separate. Because Satan wants to tear the church up. He wants to tear every congregation up. But when we come together as a group, we together, no one here is rich enough to just keep this place going. Just come here and write a check for $4,000 or $5,000 a month. Ain't nobody here can do that. Ain't nobody here got that kind of money. But when we all come in here and give our tithe, whatever that tithe may be according to your income, then all of it goes in together, and all of us can keep the doors open. But we got to do it as a team. We can't do it. One person can't do it. And just because I'm the preacher, it's not, the church is not wrapped around me. The church is wrapped around all of us. All of us have different gifts. All of us have different things that we can do. And we make up the body of believers. The problem is that Satan loves to come into all of the churches and to make some type of a split. And it happens all the time. Where people either get their feelings hurt, or they get mad at the Sunday school person, or they get mad at the preacher, they get mad at the music department, or they get mad at the youth department, or they get mad at their own family, or whatever the case may be. And the church pays the price. And what gets me is that some people really think that they can punish God when they get mad at God. And I don't understand this concept. I've never understood this concept. If you think God is picking on you, everything you touch is falling apart, and you blame God for everything, and say, listen, I ain't going to go to church. I don't care about that no more. I'm just going to get out of it. I don't want nothing to do with it. Do you think that still takes you out of relationship with God? And that you can run from God? How do you run from God without running into God? When God is everywhere. I don't understand how you do that. And let me tell you something. When God whips you, you've been whipped. And you think you've been whipped yet. You don't know what it is until God whips you. Because God has a way of getting our attention. Oh, he'll let you mouth for a little bit. He may even let you miss church for a little bit. He may even let you just be a sourpuss for a week or two. But sooner or later, he's going to say, the time is up. Either get on board, or at least I'm going to know you're not for me. And if you're not for me, then you're going to answer to me. See, either you're for God or you're against Him. There is no gray area. And if you're for Him, then we are to be a team. We are to work as a church. And we come together. And when there's a need, we do the best we can to meet it. We come together as a group to do that. And when we do that, there's something special about a church who pulls together. It doesn't get any better than that. I would rather, and I say this all the time, even no matter what I have to do to fix the finances, I'd rather have 50 people pulling the same way than 500 people that can't stand each other. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. There's a reason why we come together as a church. There's a reason why we come together as believers. And it's all about Jesus. Jesus, we believe in Jesus. And once we do, the Holy Spirit is within our lives, and the Holy Spirit convicts us to go to church. If we can. If we have the health. If we have the ability to go to church. If you're not convicted about it, then something's got to be wrong. Because it's the same Holy Spirit in every one of us. He doesn't tell me, you know, you can stay home. I don't care. I think it's a good idea if you stay home. And then tell Mark, no, you need to get your tail in church. It don't work that way. All of us. It works in all of us that we need to be in God's house. And obviously some people are missing the message. I don't know. But the Bible also tells me in the last days, in the last days just before that trumpet sounds, that a falling away is coming. And I don't know hardly of any pastor that I know that's pastoring any type of a church, say 200 or less, that church is not struggling on some area. Now the mega churches, they survive because they've got the money to survive. But understand this. Satan is at an all-time pitch. Here's what he's pitching to people. He's pitching to people, you don't need God. Or you wouldn't be in this. If God loves you, you wouldn't be the shape you're in. You wouldn't have to deal with illness, deal with all this. You say God loves you. Look at your life. Look how messed up it is. Look how much pain you're in. How in the world, if God loves you, why does he allow that to happen? Oh, listen, Satan can get very convincing. Ain't nobody here got an easy life. Anybody here got an easy life? No. Everybody here has to work for a living. Everybody here's got issues. Every one of you's got kids. You got grandkids. You got spouses. You got parents. You got bosses. You got it all. And there ain't no way everybody's going to get along with everybody, so we all got issues. But it's the issues that should draw you closer to God, not pull you away from God. Do you get that? It's all the issues that I've got in life that brings me closer to God, because if I didn't have God, I wouldn't even be here. I'd have been dead. And with all that's wrong with me, I shouldn't have been dead anyway. But I believe with all my heart that God keeps me alive to continue preach his word the best that I know how. And all that's wrong with me, you still don't see it. You don't see it. Most people to this day still don't know I'm on dialysis. I don't go around and publicize that. You guys know it because it's part of my life. But, you know, you do what you need to do. And it comes a time when you need to just quit complaining and just give it to God and see what in the world he'll do. Huh? Give the Lord a hand of applause. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me. That they may be perfected into one. That the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them, even as thou lovest that? We're in Christ. Christ is in us. We are a team. Now, I use sports analogies all the time because I love sports and played sports. You know, I was on football, basketball in high school, played both sports. Understand this, okay? If you're on a football field, everybody loves the quarterback for whatever reason. I don't know. I couldn't stand these guys myself. They're all about the quarterback. All about the quarterback. He's the one who throws. He's the one who makes all the money. All that deal. Well, I was on the defensive side. I was a defensive tackle. I was a big old boy. And anything I loved on this planet to do was to sink a quarterback. That was my job. They said, go get him. Go get him, Hodge. Eat him for lunch. Now, on the other side of that is another guy who's my size who's trying to stop me. Okay? And that's what you do. Bang, 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 bang. You just hit each other. You got padding on. Don't that sound like a lot of fun? Walk away with broken arms, broken legs, broken heads, mother's crying, but it's a lot of fun. Basketball said, but I'm going to tell you what, I got hurt more in basketball than I ever did football because you don't have no padding in basketball. And believe me, if you play underneath that basket, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hit. At least in football, you got a little bit of a padding. But it's all about the team sport. It takes a team to win. An individual can't do it. I don't care how good a quarterback he is. If he ain't got that line to block for him, he is one dead quarterback. Because they're going to eat him for lunch. Okay? He's got to throw it. He's got to hand it off. He's got to do something. Okay? Basketball, same way. I don't care if you may have a guy on there that can score 30 points. But if the other team scores 35, you still lose. It's not a one-person sport. Baseball, I don't care what it is. The only sport that's a one-person sport, much more, is golf. And I like golf. But golf's another old issue, too. But anyway, as we learn as a team, whatever that team may be, church is a team. We're all part of the same team. We're here for a reason. And that's to see that these doors are open so that the gospel can be preached. We might not have too big a congregation here, but we have people watching us around the world here. We're here for that reason, is to make sure that the gospel is preached. And that we can have fellowship, and that we can love each other, help each other, motivate each other, and be there for each other to get us through the tough times. That's what church does. Understand that? Give the Lord a hand of applause in your mouth. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew thou this in me. Oh, King James's words of saying this. Jesus says, to those who will come after me, who believe in me, one day are going to join me. Join him. And we've been studying Revelations. Revelation, I keep putting an S on that, Revelation in Sunday school. We're just about through this study. And our men had a real good study in this. And believe me, one day we're going to join Jesus and see some of the most prettiest sights that you've ever seen for eternity. We talk about heaven. Someone said, how do you describe heaven? And I told my guys in Sunday school class, there's really no way to describe heaven. But when you really study in the book of Revelation, there's one thing that God really loves, and it's color. Any color that you can imagine is going to be in the holy city of Jerusalem. You look out here, just among us, everybody's got a color on of some sort. We're in the color. And there are some beautiful colors out here. But when you really study it, God loves color. even the fruit that will be in heaven, it's all going to be a different color. Fruit's coming, what, orange, red, green, yellow, mint, purple. Nature's all about color, isn't it? And even the streets of gold. Gold is a color, is it? We deal with color. Now, my dad, bless his heart, was colorblind. And I hated that for him because he couldn't tell red from black, and he was an electrician. And that's why he ended up being in safety scene. I mean, it's bad, baby, when you colorblind as an electrician. I tell you that now. That's the bad news. But it's marvelous to know what God has planned for his people. It's marvelous. You can't even describe it. And anything to do with jewelry, you know, women, what is it? A diamond is a woman's what, best friend. You know what they say? Well, whatever the case may be. It talks about all of the jewelry that's going to be in heaven. And it's not there because of its value. It's there because of its color. Stones have color. Hundreds of different colors in stones. Because God loves color. Look at the human flesh. Different colors all over the world. But God loves color. You get that? I've already pointed that out to my guys in this study. And I like color. You know? Sometimes I wear, you know, just sort of a, and I got the silver here on, but every once in a while. I had one time, Namanda will see if she'll know, I had a sport coat. My grandmother, when she was alive, bless her heart, back years and years and years and years and years ago, when I left a very good job to go into ministry, money was tight. Didn't have a lot of clothing, but my grandmother went to Goodwill and bought me, I don't know, probably took $100 back then, 35, 40 years ago, and bought me seven or eight different sport coats. One of them was this orange, Now, I want to tell you something. My grandmother bought it for me, so I didn't question it. Spent her very hard money. It was crushed orange. You talking about in the fall of the year, baby, I was the man. I went and preached for a sort of a community service for Thanksgiving before I came here by the mother church. And I wore that thing. And they said, here comes the great pumpkin. Because I mean, you can see me coming for 10 miles. But it was pretty. A little different. It's hard to know what to wear with orange. I said, Monica, what am I going to wear? She said, well, let's try a pair of black pants. That'll go. And a white shirt. And she got me some type of a tie. That, but, you know, I mean, I was the end of that night. But, I mean, the guy he introduced me said, man, I'm telling you right now, said, I knew Brother Roger was going to be here before he even left his driveway. Who wears an orange, who in the ministry wears an orange sport coat? Who does that? I said, hey, my grandmother bought this, so you shut up. Because she did it out of her heart. Color. Now, I'd like to have that coat, so I don't know what I would have. I think Monica finally stuck it out and gave away to somebody after a few years. But, you know, color. And when you think about the real main color of the world is the blood that Jesus shed, that was red. And it was that red blood that absolutely saved the world. And when we believe in that, if we come together as one, O righteous Father, that the world knew thee not, that I know thee, that these knew thou for thou didst send. A fancy word of saying, Jesus said, I knew you before you was even born. I've known you from the existence of time, who you are. I had a plan for you before your parents even knew you was coming to the world. That's the God I serve. He knew Roger before Roger was even in existence. And he knew exactly what he was going to use me for and what he was going to do. I didn't, but he did. And he knew you before you was ever born. And in spite of what we do sometimes, he has never left on our side. Do you understand that? He's never, ever left your side. And he's willing to forgive you. Believe me, we all need forgiveness. He's willing to forgive you and love you and make you part of his family, even when you don't deserve it. Good Lord, have a promise. And we finish up. And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them. God, just as you have loved your son, Jesus is speaking, I love him. That's a lot of love. I don't care what you're going through in life. Don't ever forget the love that Jesus has for you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But by God's amazing grace, he picked you out of a crowd and said, come to me. Help me. And let's change the world. Well, that's what he's done that morning. You may not all be preachers or Sunday school teachers or all the staff, but every penny that you give to keep this ministry are a part of saving people's lives. Do you understand that? You really are. You are a part of something greater than you. May God continue to bless our church. You stand with me. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, what a precious and holy moment to understand how much you love us. You want us to be together as a team, and Father, may we be a team. May we be the church you want us to be. Father, sometimes we don't know where everybody's at, but Father, we pray for them. But Father, bless our church. Bless our people. To those who are not here, may they miss us. May they feel the urgency to be back in God's house. To help us with their tithe and their offering. To keep our doors going and our doors open. That the gospel could be preached is our prayer today. Father, we love you. We thank you for your wonderful, wonderful, amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray.